Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and on today's show, I'll be talking with actor David Oyelowo. You'll know him from his star-making role as Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. in the film Selma. David and I will be chatting about the Christian faith that serves as the foundation of his life, as well as his role as murderer Brian Nichols in the compelling new movie Captive. After that, we'll feature a few reflections from Father Jonathan Morris, the first about Scripture's power to transform our lives, the next about dealing with loneliness, and the final one about overcoming resentment. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is actor David Oyelowo. David made a big impression on American moviegoers as the star of the Christopher Award-winning film Selma, in which he portrayed Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. But David has been a successful actor both in England and the United States for some time. He's had roles in movies like The Help and Lincoln, and is even part of the Star Wars universe, doing the voice role of Imperial Agent Kallus on the animated series Rebels. Well, David has now added another meaty role to his resume with the movie Captive. Based on a true story, he plays escaped murderer Brian Nichols, who took single mother Ashley Smith hostage in 2005 while trying to hide from police. If you heard my recent interview with Ashley, you'll know that she convinced Nichols to surrender by talking to him about God's purpose for his life. Today we'll find out how David approached the role of Brian Nichols and how his Christian faith figures into his acting choices. To tell us more, I'm pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, David Oyelowo. David, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, one of the things I loved about your performance as Brian Nichols in this movie, Captive, is that you took a man, Brian Nichols murdered four people. It would be easy to dismiss him simply as evil, but you found that sliver of humanity in him that made him a three-dimensional character in this movie. Was that one of the appeals of this real-life character for you? How did you approach playing him?
Well, I think whenever you're playing a real-life human being, there's nothing really to be gained from playing someone who is one-dimensional.
Sure.
And of course, even though Brian did kill four people that day and bludgeoned the prison guard, Cynthia Hall, who's still suffering with those injuries, he was still a human being. But I think that the power of this story is that it was his interaction with Ashley Smith that brought out his humanity. On that day, he had reduced himself to a monster. He did kill four people cold-bloodedly. It wasn't until she begged him to spare her life and, had an interaction with him that was a human one, one whereby they both held a mirror up to each other because, Ashley was a meth addict. She had made terrible choices herself, choices that had kept her away from her daughter in the same way that his choices had kept him away from his son. And so I think that they found this common ground that reheated, as it were, their humanity with each other and helped both of them turn a corner on that tragic day.
Absolutely. And one of the other aspects of the story that is so key is that it's a story in which God makes himself present in these really unusual circumstances. As a Christian yourself, how did you respond to that aspect of the story and that idea that God can show up in the most unlikely times and places?
Well, it really spoke to me because what happened for me personally, as a teenager, even though I was brought up in a Christian household, it wasn't necessarily true for me. It wasn't till I heard God speak to me very personally and say, David, there is nothing you can do to make me love you less. That was my revelation moment. That was the point beyond which I went on to become a born-again Christian. And so, that is absolutely the case for Ashley Smith in this situation. Ashley herself, who was on set with us for a lot of the shoot, said that, she had watched the news that day. She had seen that this guy, Brian Nichols, had broken out of the courthouse jail and killed four people. And then suddenly, by 2 a.m. that night, he is in her apartment. And she felt that this was God's way of saying, you have messed up so badly, you deserve death. That's the esteem she had for herself. But it was actually the opposite. For her also, you know, redemption was there for her. A second chance was there for her. And it's kind of stupendous, really, that it took this rock bottom moment for her to have her life turned around and realize that God's purpose for her life was greater than anything that she could have perceived for herself also.
Right. I'm talking to actor David Oyelowo about the movie Captive. You just mentioned the word redemption. I'm curious. I know you pray when you choose roles. You really think about the movie and the story and the character. As a Christian and an actor who can get into the minds of so many different types of people, what do you think in general of this human possibility of choosing redemption?
Well, I think, you know, redemption is a gift, mm-hmm. really. You know, we've all done things, made choices that are questionable, that we'd love a second chance from. But, you know, for me personally, one of the amazing things about God's grace is that it is perpetually redemptive. Mm-hmm. That you can have people who have done terrible things, and there is still hope for them. There is still forgiveness for them. And particularly in the case of Ashley Smith, you know, she never touched that drug again beyond this event. She regained custody of her daughter. She has gone on to become an advocate and an ambassador for Celebrate Recovery, helping thousands of people who are in recovery from the very drug that held her captive. That, to me, is the definition of redemption. But it takes a certain degree of self-love, being able to forgive yourself, mm-hmm. and to be able to embrace the fact that forgiveness, redemption, and grace is there for everyone who is willing to turn up and accept what God is freely prepared to give.
Right. Well, in addition to grace, the other big aspect of this story is purpose, because Ashley read to Brian Nichols from Rick Warren's book, The Purpose Driven Life. Were you familiar with the book before working on the movie? And has this idea of a purpose-driven life shaped your own life and career?
It has in many ways, and I did read the book, but I read it far before I knew anything of the Ashley Smith, Brian Nichols story. And for me, when I had read the book, the inspiration I derived from it is the fact that God's purpose for my life far transcends the purpose I could ever envisage for myself, mm-hmm. if I'm prepared to embrace God and surrender to Him. And I think, again, that's what you see in this event, particularly with Ashley Smith.
Yeah, I'm talking to actor David Oyelowo. His new movie is called Captive. It's in theaters now. Everybody should definitely go see it. It's the story of Ashley Smith, who was taken hostage by murderer Brian Nichols, and how she talked to him about God and finding purpose in his life and prompted him to ultimately surrender. I read online that your mother doesn't always respond well to the darker roles you choose. I'm curious, has she seen Captive? What did she think of your role as Brian Nichols?
She hasn't seen Captive yet, but okay. I know exactly what she's going to say. Why do you have to play somebody who kills four people? You know, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But hopefully by the end of the movie, she'll understand that ultimately the reason I wanted to be in this film, produce this film, is because I just think it's redemptive message, and the fact that it talks about the miracle of the second chance is something that I hope everyone can get something from.
Sure. Well, just staying on the topic of your parents, I saw the interview you did with Jimmy Fallon recently, and your dad was in the audience, and he just seemed so proud of, you know, everything you've accomplished. What does it mean for you after, you know, because I know your parents have struggled in your lives, you've struggled in your life. What does it mean to have your parents be a part of your success like that?
Well, it's everything, really. You know, you're right. They really struggled to give my brothers and I the education we got, the opportunities we have, and they've been incredibly supportive. There have been times where they were very trepidatious about me becoming an actor, because it is a very volatile, unpredictable profession. But, you know, I've been very blessed within it. I've been afforded huge opportunities, and you know, they are very, very proud, and that's something that really blesses me.
Yeah, well, I know your father faced racism when you were growing up while in England, and even before you were born. How did he, like, what did he face, and how did he deal with it in a way? Because he certainly doesn't seem like a bitter, resentful person. He seems like a very positive person, which you are also. How did the two of you accomplish that positive outlook?
Well, you know, I was brought up in a Christian household, and you know, my parents are believers, and I think that's been the rock of their lives, as it has been for me. You know, I think when you see people and situations through God's eyes, it's very different than seeing it with purely human eyes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that I think is the big difference.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to actor David Oyelowo about the movie Captive. Now, you have said that you're very concerned with the roles you choose because you believe stories impact the culture globally and the way people, especially young people, choose to live. How have you seen the wide impact of film and television on people? Because I think it was a quote of yours. You said you've traveled to Africa and they don't have much, but sometimes they have the computer screen and they're watching either TV shows or movies there from America.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very real thing. You know, I take very seriously the fact that the industry I'm in and what I do for a living impacts how people see the world. You know, it shows them worlds that they haven't seen. It educates them. Hopefully, it brings them hope. But a lot of the time, what we see on our screens are films or TV shows that leave you feeling no hope for humanity, or actually glamorize violence, glamorize the lack of morality, you know. And for me, I have a moral compass that is very much shaped by my faith, but also by being a father and what I hope is a socially responsible citizen. And I've seen films I've been involved with have a huge impact on culture. Mm-hmm. Selma, for instance, in which I played Dr. King. You know, that film being released at a time where there's been so much racial tension in this country, you know, I've seen it bring hope to people. I've seen it bring an example of how to overcome some of these situations. I've seen it also educate people about how things were done in the past and maybe an example of how things can be done now and in the future. And so, you know, that's something I feel very privileged to be a part of. And, you know, I want to continue, hopefully, using whatever platform I have to bring a degree of positivity to the world around me.
Sure. Well, I interviewed the screenwriter of Captive a while ago, Brian Bird, and he mentioned that you were a youth pastor for a time. Did your work with young people, do you think give you a special insight into what they're going through and how they're living and how the movies in general and movies you make especially can affect them?
Yeah, you know, I teach at the youth group in my church still now, mm-hmm. both
okay.
my wife and I do. And, you know, I think the challenges young people face are greater now than when I was a teenager. You know, the social media and just how much we are bombarded from every side by images and, you know, pornography, whether it be pornography or drugs or, you know, just very morally questionable things that are being pumped into our homes, even through advertising, billboards. It's everywhere. You know, sex sells has gone on to become, you know, a religion, really.
Yeah.
And that's a very challenging thing for young people, especially those who are trying to stay pure, trying to live a life where they don't ruin their lives by getting into all kinds of different things that would and could do that. And, you know, I've seen that the challenges they face now are greater than those that I faced. And so, you know, my belief is, you know, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. And I've been afforded this platform, which hopefully can oxidize some of that. So, you know, you
yeah.
just try and do your part.
Absolutely. I'm talking to actor David Oyelowo. He stars as Brian Nichols in the new movie Captive, co-stars with Kate Mara as Ashley Smith. He plays a murderer who took Ashley Smith hostage. It's a true story. And she talked to him about finding God's purpose in his life and convinced him to surrender to police without killing anyone else. Before we wrap up, I just want to touch on a couple other things. The Christophers, who sponsored this show, were a Christian organization. The name was chosen because the name Christophers in Greek means Christ bears. And the motto that influences what we do is, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. So I'm curious, in your life, when you have hit those times of darkness, what makes you able to light that metaphorical candle and move forward, believe there's a brighter future?
Well, in my life, I know it to be true that the light shines brightest in the darkness. And so, you know, my personal Christian faith and the example of Jesus Christ has been that light to me whenever I've had dark moments. And even though there are times one may falter, where times where one's faith may be challenged, ultimately that light has never gone out for me once it was lit. And, you know, that's where I gain my hope from. That's the rock on which my life is built. And I've just found it never to fail me, and that's why I was drawn to a story like Captive, because it was a dark day, but the light shone through. It was a pinprick of light that went on to become something that overwhelmed the darkness and helped Ashley Smith in particular turn the corner. So, you know, what I've seen be effective in my life is what I try to bring to my work, and that doesn't mean shying away from the darkness. Anyone who's read the Bible will see that that is an R-rated book.
Very true.
Some of what you see, but ultimately what you see is how the light always overwhelms the darkness through God's grace.
Right. Just in our final 30 seconds, what are your hopes for people who see Captive?
My hope is that it's a film that will transcend the Christian community, because, you know, I don't want to make films that are preaching to the choir, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I think that we all have things that have held us captive. We all have parts of our life that could do with redemption and a second chance and a rekindling of faith. So my hope is that this film will speak to all people about the power of a second chance.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to actor David Oyelowo about his movie Captive. It really is a powerful story. And like he said, it should transcend just the Christian audience, because God is present in this story. He inserts himself in this story. But it's not in a way that hits you over the head constantly with the message. It's almost in an unexpected way. And it changes people's lives. It changed Ashley Smith's life. And it may have even planted the seeds of redemption in Brian Smith's mind. We don't know, because he's locked up in jail for life because of the murders he committed. But still, maybe a seed was planted that day, not just for Ashley Smith, but for Brian Nichols as well. So I applaud David for his performance and for talking to us about the movie today. David, thanks so much for being here.
It was my pleasure.
I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'll be back in a minute with some reflections from Father Jonathan Morris. But first, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
When Father James Keller founded the Christophers, he chose the organization's name because it means Christ-bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ-bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. That's 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and next up we have a few reflections from Father Jonathan Morris. The first has to do with making Bible reading a daily part of your life. It might seem too daunting a task to tackle the entire book right away, so Father Jonathan suggests starting with the Gospels in small doses. Here are his insights.
Hi, I'm Father Jonathan Morris. I come to you on behalf of the Christophers. We're trying to give you little nuggets that you can take and apply in your own life to make it a happier and holier life. Today, I would like to talk to you about the Scripture. Okay, don't fall asleep on me. Okay, I'm not going to give you a theological treatise on any book of the Bible. But I want to talk to you about the power of Scripture for transforming our lives. Sometimes we don't know even where to begin. Yeah, the Bible is a great thing. Can I suggest, if you're not used to reading the Bible, start with the Gospels. Read a little bit each day. Start off by putting yourselves in the presence of God before you start reading and just say, "Lord, speak to me through this Scripture." Then read it. Thirdly, reflect on it. Use your mind to say, what do I think God might be trying to speak to me in this? And then fourth, be quiet and listen. Be quiet and listen. You know, the power of Scripture is that it comes from God. It's not just a book written by, you know, smart, wise people, but rather it's God communicating himself to us, revealing himself to us. I promise you this, if you get in the habit of reading the Scriptures every day, start with Matthew, then go Mark, Luke, John, just a paragraph, a chapter, you're going to start then getting right into the rest of the Scripture, and it's going to transform your life. I'm so happy when I read from the Scripture from the pulpit in a church like this, on a Sunday, for example, or on any day of the week, because I know that even if my homily might not be very good, there's power in the Scripture. There's power in the Word of God. If we believe it and we apply it, you will see how God's able to enter your life in a new way.
In Father Jonathan's next reflection, he talks about loneliness, which can be a source of deep pain on an emotional, mental, and spiritual level. The ironic thing is that feelings of loneliness can arise even when you're surrounded by other people. That's why Father Jonathan offers personal insights on how you can move past those feelings with help from God and prayer.
Hi, I'm Father Jonathan Morrison. I come to you on behalf of the Christophers. Let's talk about loneliness. If you've ever experienced it deeply, you know how much it hurts. You know, one of the experiences of my early priesthood, I've been ordained 12 years now, but I remember just in the first year or two, a college student from NYU, the big university here in New York City, in the very heart of the hustle and bustle of Manhattan, well, he came to me and he said, "Father, I feel so alone." You know, and I knew he came from a rural part of the country, and I thought it was so ironic that here he was, anything but alone, and yet he felt alone. And he said, "The loneliness is even worse because there are people all around me, and I still feel alone." What do we do when we feel lonely? How do we get out of it, or how do we help somebody else get out of it? I'd like to suggest three things. Number one, recognize that whether there's people around us or not, we can feel lonely because, number one, we don't feel understood. We don't feel understood. Number two, we don't feel appreciated. And number three, we don't feel loved. Now, of course, there can be medical reasons as well of why somebody feels depressed or lonely. But in the case of a healthy mind and a healthy heart, loneliness is usually caused because we don't feel understood, we don't feel appreciated, or we don't feel loved. If you know somebody who's going through this, or maybe you're going through it yourself, I invite you to realize how much God understands you, how much he appreciates you, and how much you're loved. If you have any doubt whatsoever, read the gospel. You know, Jesus suffered everything that we've gone through so that every tear would be wiped away eventually in heaven, but also beginning now. Read the gospel, study the gospel, and then go out and show the understanding, appreciation, and love for another person who might be suffering even more than you. You know, getting outside of ourselves and understanding others, appreciating others, and loving others is a great recipe also for our own soul. Do you feel lonely? Well, you're not alone. God is with us. God is with us always. And you are understood, you are appreciated, and you are loved.
Father Jonathan's final reflection is perfect for you if you're walking around carrying resentment towards some person or situation in your life. Maybe you even feel resentment toward God. Whether you realize it or not, that resentment is a burden that's keeping you from living a happy life. In the following reflection, Father Jonathan explores that issue by analyzing the story of the prodigal son, specifically the second son who's angry that his money-squandering brother has been welcomed back into his father's good graces. So how can we move past resentment? Here's what Father Jonathan has to say.
Hi, I'm Father Jonathan Morris, and I'm speaking to you today on behalf of the Christophers. Let's talk for a moment about resentment. Resentment. It's when, from the very inside of who we are, the very core of who we are grumbling and complaining about something that's happened in the past, about something that somebody else has done to us, about something we wish we had and don't have. Resentment against other people, against life, against God. You know, the great story in the gospel that refers, that talks to us about this, I think is what is often known as the story of the prodigal son. But I like to refer to it as the story or the parable of the two sons. We know the first son. He goes off and lives a wild and loose life and comes back, and his father welcomes him back as a son. But the second son doesn't get talked about too often. And you remember, he walks into the party, or he hears the party that's going on, to welcome his younger brother back. Oh, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. He feels resentment. Now, remember what happens next. He goes to his father, and what does he say? "Father, for all these years I have served you." Another translation says, "For all these years I have slaved for you." And then he says, "And you haven't even given me a goat to celebrate with my friends." The father didn't understand. God the Father, as Jesus is describing him, didn't understand. And he says to the second son, "What do you mean?" He says, "Son, everything that I have is yours. Everything that I have is yours. You just tell me." You know, this older son lived a pretty miserable life because he felt like nothing of the father was his. And he only saw other people with it. The way to get rid of resentment is to recognize what God has done for us and what he's doing for us and what he has in store for us. In store for us, no matter whether we've been good or bad, whether we've been like the first son or the second son, let it go. Let it go. God doesn't want you to live with resentment. He doesn't want you to be perfect for perfection's sake. He wants you to live like a son or daughter of his, and everything that he has is ours.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.